tonight we're going to be doing our Biblical Life Victory briefing. And do you ever have a time that you're halfway through something and you kind of wish you'd done it just a little bit different? We're 6 weeks into teaching on the kingdom on our weekend services, and God has just been releasing so much. I really wish that we had videotaped it rather than just audiotaped it. But I do want to touch on some things to kind of blend into that, and I really believe with all my heart that there is a reason that God is dealing with us about kingdom. You know, since the beginning of the year, God has been dealing about that. There was a turnaround anointing that he was going to begin to loose for the people of God. Well, once you get turned around, the most logical thing that you have to do is learn how to function in kingdom. So I want to go tonight, first of all, to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. We need to realize that God always speaks of kingdom anytime that he visits. Now, we do know that God is always here, but we also have things called revival. We have visitations of the Lord. And I think one of the greatest visitations of the Lord is when he took on human form and he came and he walked among us. I mean, if that wasn't the ultimate visitation from the Lord, the only thing that could ever top that is one day when Jesus comes back and he establishes a kingdom. He comes back as Messiah ben David and he says, let's go ahead and visit for about 1,000 years just to get this party started. So when we see that Jesus, as he entered into his ministry in Matthew 4:17, now he visited the people that were supposed to be the people of God. He didn't go down to the Romans. He didn't go down to the Greeks. He was visiting his own people. And this is the frame. It says from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anytime that God begins to visit his people, anytime that he gives us a turnaround, anytime that he does anything, the only way that we can truly enter into it is that there must be a time of repentance in the hearts of God's people. I love the notes that Dake has on this. He said, when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, literally, the kingdom from the heavens, it is headed by Jesus Christ for the purpose of re-establishing the kingdom of God over this rebellious part of God's realm. Now, we need to understand the tendency of man to wander. If you've ever studied church history, if you have ever studied the nation of Israel, if you've ever studied man in general, that if he does not continually have a cycle of repentance and drawing closer to God, he will wander from God. And that's one of the reasons why anytime that I really want to come close to God, it has to be with repentance in hand, because he's not the one who wandered. I am. And that I have, in some way or another, I have grown rebellious in my ways to his rulership, and I have begun allowing the flesh to rule in those areas. And repentance is not really a popular message in this time in the church. And it shows you just how rebellious we've become, how far that we have drawn off, that the most natural thing when John the Baptist began to preach, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, when Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, when he sent out his disciples, their message was, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's really the gospel of the kingdom, is you got to repent to enter into the kingdom. Without that repentance, it's impossible. But we also need to ask, if this kingdom that I'm coming into, what kind of kingdom is it? I mean, where's its headquarters? Where's the, you know, I want to, you know, is it in Springfield? Is it in Cleveland, Tennessee? Where is its headquarters so that I can really figure out where I need to go? Let's go to John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. You know, we need to begin defining these things, because if we don't allow the Word to define them, Satan will begin giving us false definitions other than what the Word of God says. Now this is when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, and Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." That means you can't find it in Springfield. That means you can't go to Cleveland, Tennessee and visit the headquarters of his kingdom. Or any other denominational headquarters or ministry headquarters. We'd like to think that we could. Come on to Marshfield. Biblical Life is the headquarters of the kingdom of God on earth. That's never going to happen. That's an impossibility. His kingdom is not of this world. He says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." The propensity of man that I have seen, whether we call it a denomination or Christendom, if you will, is man loves to try to create an earthly realm that he can say is the kingdom of God, that he, of course, is the man of God to rule from that kingdom. And it's like, I'm not against denominations, but here's the problem. God is going to move where God is going to move in the hearts of people. And any time that we set ourselves up as something more than we are, man has a propensity into moving into dictatorship. Look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that was going on in Jesus' day. Here you had Almighty God come in the flesh, a visitation from the Lord, and reestablishing the kingdom, and they constantly planned to have him killed. Because he was coming against the structure that they had built. If I don't really define what the kingdom of God is and understand that it's not of this world, you can't put your hands on it, although it can put its hands on you. You can't pick it up and hold it like this in your hand. It's impossible to do. And the moment that you do, you have stopped dealing with the kingdom of God. The minute you build a headquarters someplace and say the kingdom of God flows from here is the day that the kingdom stops flowing. Because then you begin ruling from that place. How many bishops have I seen? How many things have I seen that it moves away from doing in the kingdom what we're supposed to do to building a subset kingdom that's made by man? You see, the problem that we have in understanding kingdom is you cannot build the kingdom. You can only flow in that which God has built. It's not you building something. It's you learning to flow in that which has existed before the earth was ever formed. Because the kingdom of God started before there was a universe to hang the earth in. It is greater than this physical reality. And if we're going to have to, we have to define what it is. And my job through my repenting and really getting right with God and crucifying the flesh and getting sin out, it allows me to step into the flow of that which is impossible for me to create. That's why it can become more. Does that make sense? How many times have we all been to church services that the entertainment was there, The word was awe-inspiring. Rather than inspired, it was awe-inspiring at the rhetorical prowess of man. Everything was rehearsed down to a fine art. But yet the kingdom wasn't there. You walk away, and although you may feel physically satisfied because, man, that was, I tell you what, that choir was the best. I have never heard such singing. Or I have never been prompted to contemplate my navel more than I ever have, at any other setting and feel awe-inspired to do it. And so you may feel intellectually stimulated, but you walk away with your spirit feeling like it's been given puffy something, it's been given cotton candy when you need a steak. because it is so much of us getting into this physical world that we miss the flow of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does not need cameras. The kingdom of God doesn't need the best singers in the world. The kingdom of God doesn't even need a great speaker, because Almighty God has spoken through a donkey before and got what he needed done. He needs people that are vessels that have submitted to the kingdom, that have submitted to the king of that kingdom. And they learn to flow in that. And you can have a severe stuttering problem, yet you can speak the mysteries of God and have the power of God flow through you better than someone who has complete command of his speech. I remember years ago, I heard a story about two men that got up and to read "The Lord is My Shepherd." And one was a world-renowned orator that knew the perfect way to, you know, you should inflect your voice here, you should raise it here, you should calm it down here. And I mean, he had it to an art form. And he had a few people teared up. And then an elderly gentleman got up with crackled voice and begin to read it. And by the time that he was through, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And even the man who was the great orator was moved to tears. And he asked him, he said, "How is it that you, not being trained in proper elocution and all the techniques, was able to command such a presence and to evoke such emotion in the people?" The old man patted him on the back and said, "Son, you know the words. I know the shepherd." It's kingdom. All of it is kingdom. Now, we need to define kingdom. Kingdom can be, in its simple, or its most simplistic etymology, is a kingdom is the king's domain. It is what the king owns. It is what belongs to him. It is where his rulership is, and there is always a border to every kingdom, and where that border ceases, his dominion ceases, his authority ceases. And see, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to help expand his dominion. Now, technically, God owns everything, but a good portion of it he gave over to man. And man handed it over to the devil. And we really need to understand that in this world, in this universe, there are only two kingdoms. Now, we're not talking about ethnicity. We're not talking about nationalities. We are talking about true power basis. There are only two kingdoms on this planet: the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And the interesting thing about kingdom that we're never taught in America, because we don't live in a kingdom, we live in a democracy, is that all the land, all the people, all the stuff in that kingdom, all the assets, resources, and everything are owned by the king for the king. It is a nation by the king, for the king, and only for the king. Now, if you have a good king, he takes care of his people. America is totally, it's by the people, for the people, and of the people. You see, in a kingdom, no one really owns land but the king. Now, the king can sign you off a deed that has a time limit on it, but it can always go back to him. And one of the big things in America was people get to own land. Well, when we step back and we apply that principle spiritually, if I'm in the kingdom of darkness, the devil owns me. He owns everything that I have. He may give me the illusion that I am the king of my life and that I am the master of my destiny and the captain of my ship, but he's really the one who turns the ship, and he's the one who guides the waves and causes the wind to blow in my sails. And the whole time I have an illusion that I am turning the steering wheel, if you will, not realizing it is on autopilot. And I can turn as I want, but he guides me just as much as he can guide the ship. And that it's all for his purposes. only through Messiah and through repentance am I translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies, which belong to him. You see, everything is again the king's. So whenever I begin to move in the flesh and I resist what Almighty God wants, by default, I'm giving in to my old king. There is no demilitarized zone. There's no neutrality here. It's either one or the other. And the sooner that we realize that, the sooner that we can develop the mindset that I am never going to let the devil use me again. I am never going to be an asset in his hands to bring chaos to the kingdom of God or harm to this world. But I choose to be an asset. I choose to be an arrow in the hands of Almighty God, and I choose to be an arrow that will always fly straight and always be true. And therefore, I can crucify the flesh with the temptation the devil gives, knowing that the moment that I crucify this, there's a resurrection here to this. And if we get that established, that's why repentance is required to enter in. If I get that, then I can begin flowing in the kingdom for real. Not building my own kingdom. Not trying to establish my own thing, but the Lord's. Now we also need to ask is, where is the kingdom manifested? Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there.'" Why are we having that today? Come to this city because the kingdom of God is here. You see, if you really understand the kingdom, we can come to the place that the kingdom can move wherever there is a person in the kingdom. Now, yes, God does visit some places, but what I have found out is that it is usually a starting point and not an ending point. You know what I mean? It's the people that met Jesus when they walked away, he lingered with them. His nature and his persona lingered with them. They didn't have to continually come back for a physical fix. And yet we see that in a lot of our revival meetings, that if the kingdom of God is being poured out there, I come in and I enter into the kingdom of God. I can leave that place and never actually go back there, which would disrupt my kingdom if you did that. Amen. And I can take that and I can go and let the kingdom of God be released wherever I go. That they're not going to say, you know, no one can say with observation, the kingdom is here, the kingdom is there. For behold, Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. And really, all true kingdoms always begin in the heart. Whether it's a kingdom of man. Well, why do you say that? If you're really a citizen of a kingdom, you will raise up and die to defend that kingdom. What about 9/11 in America? We had men and women that before 9/11 would never have thought to serve in the military. But the minute that a nation was attacked, they immediately laid down their lives because they believed in something. They had citizenship in something because they weren't just American on the outside, they were American on the inside. And the true kingdom of God, if God can get it down in your heart, it will affect everything else about you. The kingdom of God never works from the outside in. It always works from the inside out. And if I get it in here, it will begin affecting everything out there for me. You say, well, what does that have to do with where we're going? has a lot to do. How many know that we live in a nation that has had the presence of God, has had the providence of God, and has have had the protective hand of God corporately on it for a long time? Now, things have gotten so bad in America that God's protective hand corporately is beginning to lift off our nation. Now, when you have affluence in a nation, when you have lots of money in a nation, money can fake spirituality. It can fake it. Make it seem like it's really blessed to God and everything's moving when the only thing that's flowing is money. But when God takes it, and in that, if you have a corporate cover over all of America, you can get away with a lot of things. It looks like everything's just going just like it always has been until God begins to lift his hand. We're in a period, guys, that we're going from corporate protection to individual protection. Because in reality, the walk with God, the kingdom of God, has always been one person walking in the kingdom. Now, there's benefit to a corporate anointing when you have a whole group of people that have committed to walking in the kingdom together. It can expand and it can multiply their blessing. It can multiply their protection. It can multiply their provision. Because it creates a community that when we're all keeping the commandments of God, we're all flowing. We're not trying to build something that is built by man, but flowing in that which God has built and living totally under the King's rulership in our lives. That when we do that, then God can begin blessing that community and it causes a stronger anointing. That's why one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. It's because of that corporate anointing. But it's going to be in pockets. It's going to be only in groups of those that are really walking with God. That's why I think in the days to come, guys, we're going to see devastation. And then right next door, you're going to see blessing. Sometimes you can almost see that with some of the storms that we have. A tornado comes through and it'll rip apart one home and the house right next to it, not so much as a branch has been moved. We've seen that with the fires they've had in California. Fires rip right over the top of a hill and take out two or three houses and a couple of yards. The lawn is not even scorched anywhere. I think that's God's just trying to say, listen, guys, these things are possible. And the great part about that is regardless of the direction that America goes, or regardless of the nation, wherever that I'm at goes, that I am part of a kingdom that when everything around me is being shaken, Hebrews tells us that there is a shaking coming that is going to shake everything that can be shaken in heaven and in earth. But that we are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so the key is, if you don't want to be shaken, be a part of that kingdom. That's why repentance is required to get into it. And it's right here. It's of the heart. And I guarantee you, whatever gets in your heart will affect every single area of your life. Now, we also need to know the kingdom of God has to be allowed to grow. You don't immediately walk powerfully in the things of the kingdom of God. The kingdom has to grow within you, and you've got to grow within the kingdom of God. Let's go to Luke 13, 18 through 21. Give you a chance to find it here. You see this very thing of trying to build an earthly kingdom? Is how we got into this last Sabbath of men taking the shield of faith and trying to turn it into a shopping bag to see how much of the world they could hold. When your shield of faith is full of stuff, you can't use it as a shield. And then you wonder why the fiery darts of the devil are sticking into your chest. Empty out your shield and use it as a shield and not an offering plate nor a shopping cart. It's made to be a shield. Then he said, what is the kingdom of God like? and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed when a man, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. Do you know you can tell someone that has really been saved, who has really gotten into the kingdom, gotten into the flow? Now, I have seen people that come down to the altar, say the little prayer, go back, and the only thing that changed in their life is where they spend 2 hours a week. That's it. That's the only thing that changes in their life. That, and maybe they actually start writing a check to the church that they attend. That's all that there is. When someone has truly entered into the kingdom of God, from the moment they kneel at an altar and make Jesus the Lord of their life, the kingdom of God is implanted, and then it begins to grow. That there is a slow, progressive transformation that begins to take place that will eventually consume all of their life. That you get radical enough that you're going down the road and you're either praying, you're quoting scripture, or listening to good praise and worship, or the minute somebody asks if you can do something, you start comparing it to what the Word of God says to see if it's allowed for you to do. Well, Brother Mike, didn't God say, you know, that all things were permissible? Yes, but he also said that not all things were profitable. And when you start getting into the kingdom, yeah, I can do this, but if it costs me the anointing. It's not going to send me to hell, but is it going to cost me the anointing? Is it going to cost me the protection of God? Is it going to cost me the blessings of God on my life? If so, those things are too costly. Someone who you get to the place, guys, because I deal with ministers all the time. You get to the place, it's not just all about getting into heaven. For me, it's a done deal. I'm going. I'm not looking for a way to get my ticket canceled at all. Okay, I'm not into that. But now that I've got that established, I have learned from the feast that you never appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now, in the natural, you know, it's like when you come, you bring an offering before the Lord. But see, the ultimate time of your appearing before the Lord is after you die, and the only thing that you can bring with you is your life. And the more that I have allowed the kingdom to govern what I do, the more that I can bring with me to lay at the feet of my Lord and my King. And I say, this is because of what you did in my life, O King, that your kingdom expanded in me and began to overtake how I do business, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how that I conduct the affairs of life, so that I began living it just exactly the way that Jesus would have lived it. And I showed them the kingdom by what you expanded in my life. Now, it took me a while to get there. And guys, it does. It psychologically and neurologically, it takes you 3 years to rewire your brain. And there is no express button. Anytime that God begins to open a new dimension in his word to you that you have to begin radically changing things, it will take 3 years to get that established in the cement of your character and get it established. But see, what you're looking for in kingdom is slow, steady progression. Man, if you're the same place now that you were last year, you better start hitting your knees and repenting, because something is either killing the kingdom in you and not allowing it to progress, you got a blight somewhere of sin, or you're never in the kingdom. Because the kingdom should eventually take over everything in your life. And if it isn't, that's a place that I would rather not be. Amen? Now, how do we enter into the kingdom? We've already covered a part of it in Mark 4:17. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if there is no repentance, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And anytime God wants to take you deeper into the kingdom, there's going to have to be a time of repentance. That should be a normal part of the Christian experience, is seasons of repentance to go deeper into the kingdom. The second one, which I've really found fascinating, is let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12. Not only do you have to repent to get into the kingdom, you got to get called to get into the kingdom. It's a calling. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You see, the yeast of the kingdom, the leaven of the kingdom has got to affect your walk so that your walk is worthy of the God who has called you into his kingdom, into his glory. Because once you begin bearing his name, you have to start reflecting his character. One of the most aggravating things in the world is someone who bears a name who does not reflect its nature. You know, how aggravated would you be if you had an overnight express UPS package and a guy in a pulls up in a brown truck wearing brown outfit that has UPS right here on it, and you go out to meet him and he says, "I don't work for UPS. I'm the pizza guy." No, you're not. You're UPS. You're bearing the name. And I got to have that package by 10 o'clock. It's on that truck. No, that's Pete's truck. Can you realize the frustration the world has at the church because we've not been properly flowing in kingdom? We bear the name of it, but we don't bear and reflect the power or the nature of it. They want the real deal, guys. And when Jesus calls you, when the Holy Ghost knocks on the door of your heart to accept Messiah, it's also a call to walk in the kingdom. It's not just about getting saved. It's called to get saved and get delivered and get transferred from the kingdom of darkness and learn how to flow in this new kingdom with the same veracity, with the same tenacity that you had in the other kingdom. How many know that you had sin and down? Didn't have to. Nobody. I never heard a prayer. Now pray for me, because I'm fixing to sin, and I want that sin just to go just right. Yeah, I want to get deep into it. You don't hear that. It just comes natural. Okay. With the same expertise, with the same eloquence, with the same unction that you used to sin with, I want to learn how to flow in the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit and to flow in the kingdom with that same ease that used to get me into trouble. I want to start getting the devil into trouble. And it's not working it up. It's finally realizing who you are and learning to flow in it. Because I'm called to do it. It's a... Man, you know the word. You know God. You're flowing in the anointing. Well, that I got a calling to do that. Jesus called me out of darkness. He cleaned me up. He caused me. I am now his workmanship unto good works, recreated in Christ Jesus. How could I do anything but that? Because, man, that is my calling. It's your calling to flow in the kingdom. Now, how can we really enter into the real good stuff of the kingdom? Let's go to Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 24. See, guys, our paradigm has got to change. We're thinking too much like worldly people and not enough like kingdom-oriented people that are the kingdom, not of this world. Starting in verse 24 of Luke 22, Now there was also a dispute among them as to which should be considered the greatest. Here he's got 12. I'm better than you. I tell you what, I cast out that demon in 24.2 seconds. Well, yeah. Well, I healed the sick over there in 11.7 seconds. It's like casting out demons. Who, man? You got Jesus standing right there, the one that they're looking to be king, and they're arguing among themselves, excluding him, which one's the baddest. How bad. I tell you what, I'm going to be sitting on his right hand. Look out now. Then Jesus heard it. Party's over. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Yeah. That's what we're after, Jesus. I want to be a benefactor of all the good stuff. I want people looking up to me and waiting on me and waiting with bated breath for every word that I say. That's what I'm after. I want this. Then he spoils it all. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Uh-oh. The king just said, I am the one who is sitting among you, and I'm serving you. Quit thinking like a Gentile. Quit thinking like somebody not in the kingdom. Quit thinking like the other kingdom. The only way to flow in this kingdom is you got to serve. But you who are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The kingdom is only bestowed upon servants. A servant never builds his own kingdom. A servant serves his king. Selah. The more that we learn to be a servant to the king, the more we will learn how to flow in the kingdom. And I'm not fully there yet, but I tell you what, there have been times the king took over and I did things not because my flesh wanted me to, not because it was even the right thing to do, because a lot of people would have probably said I was justified to open up a can of, I'm going to whoop you from one end to the other. But my king said, serve. And because I served, it opened up the kingdom to me in ways that I think I'm even still beginning to realize and understand at the grace of God. That even though there were those that would have planned my hurt, that when I serve my king, they can never get it done because of his greatness. And so just look at the setting here, that I am called into the kingdom, but Jesus is only going to bestow the kingdom to those who serve him. They say, well, wasn't it about serving the people, the people that the king said to serve? Otherwise, we can make people our Lord by wanting to make people happy. Yet Jesus walked into the pool of Bethesda, healed one man, and walked out. Because the Father said, there's 1,000 there, but this one right here I want you to heal. You're going to go heal him, and you're going to walk out and not give anyone else a second thought. But that's what a true servant does. This is what my master told me to do. I'm doing this. I am not authorized to do anything else. If you want anything else done, go talk to the master. If he authorizes it, I'll serve all day long. I'll serve wherever he sends me. But if he doesn't send me, I can't go, because unless I have the commission, I will go empty-handed. But with the commission comes the anointing. With the commission comes the provision. With the commission comes the vision. And it's all about the master. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the king. It's all about what he wants. This is something he needs done in his kingdom so that the proper balance and proper strength can come into his kingdom for the purposes that he has designed. Many times we're all building in the wrong places. We're putting too much emphasis on the wrong things because we think in our wisdom it is advantageous for us when it's not for the kingdom. We'll choose all the wrong people. We'll choose all the wrong things. If God has called the simple things of the world to confound the wise, how am I going to choose the right things for His purposes unless I listen to Him? Because man's wisdom will always point me to the strongest, to the wisest, to the... God says, no. You need to go and let me use who I'm going to use and do what I tell you to do, because I have a greater purpose. And see, since the king can see all and I can't. I remember, I was talking here a couple of days ago to Dr. Doyle Varvel, and he was talking about how he wants to live for God. And this guy said, you're trying to tell me that you just want to be like a puppet on strings? And Doyle said, you're finally getting it, as long as God's the one holding the strings. That's all I want to be. I only want to move when He moves me. I only want to speak when He moves my mouth. I only want my feet to go where He has purpose for the kingdom for them to go. Because those places He established, His kingdom and His presence and His manifested glory is going to be there. Man, that's what I'm after. Now, what's our priority? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This is how Jesus taught us to pray every day. Every day. And it takes priority over it, because it's later on, He says, and give us this day our daily bread. But He said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God, you be holy. You be holy in my life. You be hallowed. You be honored in my life and in everything around me. My prayer today is that you receive glory, that you are honored by the way that I think, by the way that I do, and by the way that I live. And let your kingdom come. How often should we be seeking kingdom when we want revival? No, we should be seeking the kingdom every day. Kingdom is something that is rationed out. That if you seek God right, you get your ration for the day. It's almost like manna. You get your ration for the day. Because it is something that you have to choose to walk in every day. My choice to walk in the kingdom yesterday is not good enough for me to walk in today. I've got to get up and determine in my heart that I'm going to yield to the kingdom today and that the Father is going to get honor in my life today. But if I do that, how are my daily needs going to be taken care of? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you, because the king is very good to the laborers in his field. They don't have to worry about unionizing. He pays his help well. He pays his citizenry well when they're doing his Father's business. He has the perfect health plan. I'll send my word and I'll heal all your diseases. He has a perfect benefits plan that our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When I learn how to seek that kingdom, God says, when you seek my kingdom first, that kingdom can flow into your finances. That kingdom can flow into your health. That kingdom can flow into your family. That kingdom can flow, and wherever the kingdom is, there's going to be blessing. It's like Obed-Edom when he had the Ark of the Covenant in his home. Everything there, it created an atmosphere of blessing. Why did it do that? The Ark of the Covenant is God's throne upon the earth. That was a physical representation of the throne of God. God's throne was in his living room. Let me tell you something. If you could get God's throne in your house is going to be blessed. If you can get God's throne at your job, that job's going to be blessed. If you can get the throne of God into your church, that church is going to be blessed. If you can get that throne of God into that ministry, to where everything about that flows in that ministry is emanating from a command from the throne, then everything needed to fulfill that command is going to flow from that throne as well. God is not obligated to fund your agenda. but he is always obligated to fund his. Well, even if he has to get you to go fishing to pay your taxes, just ask Peter. Now, how is the kingdom manifested? Is it with great elocution and great passion? How is the kingdom manifested? Let's look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. They accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub. But he said, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Well, we're not one of those demon-casting out churches. So you make them feel welcome? Let me tell you something. All you got to do is go down and look at local mall, and there's almost more demons than there are people. I mean, people right now, there's so many people out there that you see that are oppressed and depressed and possessed by the devil. They got them hanging out their ears. We're in one of the greatest mission fields I have ever seen, but yet we are told in our affluence that there are no such things anymore and that people are just really okay, and just as long as the money flows. Can you see how affluence can mask true spirituality and true prosperity? And I love it because if you've ever tried to cast a demon out, sometimes it's some work. And you want God to take his fist and just go. Jesus said, one finger. My favorite saying is, God gives the devil the finger and he's got to go. Just by the finger of God. God just takes his little pinky and says, "Did you hear my son?" He said, "Get, now get. You heard my child, you heard my servant. I sent them there in my name, and they told you to get. Now, get." By the finger of God. The kingdom is so powerful that the greatest demon cannot hold ground to the finger of God. Not even the whole hand of God, just the finger of God moving through a man. We have too much faith in what we can see and not enough faith in what we can't see. Let's go back to Luke 9 and 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You see, when the kingdom of God goes, it needs to, there is no spiritual vacuum, guys. It's like we talked the principles of binding and loosing before when we taught on spiritual warfare. If you bind up sickness, you have to loose healing. If you bind up prosperity, or if you bind up poverty, you gotta loose prosperity. Nature hates a vacuum, and so does the spirit realm. It's either one or the other, one kingdom or the other. When the kingdom of God comes in, it displaces the other kingdom. Just like when the children of Israel came into the promised land, they had to displace the pagans that lived there and their pagan rituals and to overturn their altars and to rid all that stuff. When the kingdom comes in, it displaces what the working of the kingdom of darkness does. Therefore, when they preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick, does that tell you where sickness and disease comes from? If the kingdom of God displaces it, so when the kingdom of God comes in, sickness and disease should be displaced, and spiritual parasites, all the spiritual ites, the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Amalekites, when we come in out of people's lives, we need to push squatters out of the promised land by casting them out and then establishing the kingdom. So, guys, now in our own lives, what you don't allow the kingdom of God to possess, the kingdom of darkness does. The kingdom of God must displace the other. There is no vacuum. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. How many people have heard words with no power? You can hear the anointing in a man or woman's voice when they're speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And there is an anointing there that enforces the kingdom. You see, when the kingdom comes, it gives strength to your spirit, it gives clarity to your mind, and it gives strength to your body. That's part of what the anointing does. And when a man or woman gets up, and it's not just in words, it's not just about affecting the mind, it's not just about winning arguments, it's not just about inspiring people. Because I mean, you know, I had an old sergeant that was when I was in the military, that was the furthest thing from sanctified you ever saw. I mean, about every other word was a four-letter word, but he could inspire you to charge the enemy with a cap gun. I mean, he had that about him. He was a Sergeant Slaughter kind of guy, you know. That kind of inspiration won't work against the devil. It may work against Russians, but it won't, you know. It may work against an enemy force, but it will not work against the devil. But words filled with power that are beyond winning an argument or just trying to lift your spirits. The words that come from heaven causes the kingdom of darkness to be displaced with a manifestation of power that pushes it back and establishes God's rule and reign in your life. That's what we've got to come back to when we teach on the kingdom. Now let me add this. As we approach kingdom is one of the reasons why the Hebraic movement is beginning to take off, because there are laws in the kingdom. There is instruction on how to function in that kingdom. There are holidays in that kingdom. And the kingdom of darkness has their holidays. The kingdom of God has their holidays. God calls them His feasts. They belong to the King. And when you enter into them, He can open up the door to give you greater revelation about how that kingdom is supposed to operate and all the things that Messiah is supposed to do in us and through us in the earth. But even people in the Hebraic Roots movement have missed the kingdom and have started building their own. The epicenter of everything is King Jesus. And to establish His rule and reign here first. If Jesus is ruling and reigning here, I mean really ruling and reigning, to where if you got up tomorrow and Jesus says, "I want to change your day. I want to change how you do your job. I want to change your attitude. I want to give you an attitudinal adjustment about some things and how you treat your kids and how you treat your wife. Am I going to resist that or am I going to submit to it?" When I submit to it and establish the kingdom here. And what has to happen in the kingdom is I get so full of the kingdom that it begins to overflow. And then you guys get so full of the kingdom it begins to overflow. And then this becomes a pool of the kingdom as we gather together in a place. There becomes a reservoir of the kingdom that if somebody not in the kingdom comes in or not fully established in the kingdom comes in, they get wet. They get caught up in the overflow. But it has to be as for me and my house. For as me and my house, I'm gonna serve the Lord and I'm going to establish the kingdom here. And I don't know how you live, but I live according to kingdom principles. And all the ridicule in the world that you give me will never get me to change the way that I'm living, because the way that I'm living has been established by my King. He's not your King yet, but He can get you out of the mess that you're in. And the minute you get out of the mess that you're in, and you cannot, those that are not born of the Spirit of God cannot see the kingdom of God. But the moment that you're introduced to Messiah and you're really His, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to see the kingdom. And instead of ridiculing it, you're going to say, "Would you teach me how to walk that way? Would you teach me how to be that way? I got the leaven kind of brewing in here, but I got all these places I'm needing to help push it. I want to knead it through. And I want to put fertilizer on that tree and let that thing, you know, it started out as a seed, but I'm wanting it to grow and to be nurtured the way that I need it to be. You need to learn to nurture the kingdom in you, guys. You're called, and through servanthood, you're commissioned. It can be bestowed upon you. The greater our servanthood to the king, the greater the kingdom can be released in us and through us. But a heart that won't repent can never even see it. It can't move in any of it. Well, to do that, we'd have to change the way that we do everything. That's why Jesus said, repent. He could have said, guys, the kingdom of God is getting ready to come here. You're going to have to change the way you do everything. Because if he didn't, the kingdom would not have proceeded with a word from God called repent. Repent is a call to change everything and to be sorry that you got off where you had to change. I know it was right somewhere, but somehow or another we got off. The church in America has got off a kingdom. We can fight these theological air castles. We can have the Baptists fighting the assemblies of God, whether you should speak in tongues or not. You know, when the prophecy begins hitting the fan, you want to move in everything of the Word. And if it's kingdom, it may not be Baptist-dom. It may not be Assembly of God-dom. It may not be Presbyterian-dom. But it may be kingdom. Because in the heat of war, spiritually, there's only two kingdoms, darkness and light. Everything else just fades away. It's like when I was in the military and you had platoons and you had Alpha, Bravo, Delta, Charlie, Echo. And so you had platoons and you had platoon leaders. Let me tell you something, in the heat of battle, you may have forgotten what platoon that guy belonged to, but you knew which one were U.S. uniforms and which one were whatever other uniforms. And the one that was in a U.S. uniform, he was your buddy. You watched his back and he watched yours. And you fought alike and you thought alike because you were trained the same way. It should be that way in the body of Christ. We're trained the same way. It's only in times of peace and affluence that we have the illusion of having all these disagreements. And guys, I really got a feeling that's going to come to an end shortly. And it's time to get with God's program. When you get with God's program, you may have to say, silver and gold have I none. But you can say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You may have to walk everywhere you go, but God walks with you. You can have your needs met. But God isn't so much about fulfilling all the lust of your flesh as he is meeting the needs of getting the kingdom established for a real purpose. And I just ask that God would help us see his purposes. Now, I'm not against having stuff. I'm against stuff having us. And if I'm going to show you how blessed I am of God, I'm not going to reach for a physical thing and show you. I want to sit down and to show you what the real blessing is. The revelation of what I have learned on how to walk with Jesus. That's my blessing. That's my blessing. To expound the Word of God. Everything else is gravy. Amen. Father God, we just thank you tonight. Father, we thank you for your Word. Father, I ask that you would loose an anointing on us that would enable us to push out the peripheral things. And Father, to center back in on kingdom. Father, our prayer is that your kingdom would come into our lives, into our families, into this ministry, into everything about us, that your kingdom would be established. And that you would rule and that you would reign from our homes. That you would rule and reign from our hearts. That you would rule and reign from each congregation. Knowing that we're just simply a part of the body of Christ. And Father, open our eyes. Let us see where darkness has crept in. And Father, let us with purpose war against it so that your kingdom can displace those things within us and establish your kingdom. And we thank you and we praise you. praise you for it. In Jesus' name.